We're back on the hunt with Supernatural Season 7, Episode 10, Death's Door. I'm Chris Barrows.
And my name's Dan Cummins. Welcome back to the best Supernatural podcast on the air. This is the show where Chris and I rewatch our favorite show, Supernatural. We break down the plot, topics, and themes of each episode, and maybe even dig out details that you missed the first time around. Chris, I got to tell you, a lot of topics, a lot of themes, a lot of plot in this episode. We're going to try to cover it all. We've been teasing this episode since we started season 7. I'll have to go back and check. I feel like we might have even mentioned it on episode 1. This is a heavy episode because we're losing one of our favorite characters, but I hate to do this, Chris, but I feel like I have an unpopular opinion about this episode, and I'll get there, but how do you feel about this episode going in? Obviously, it's a heavy one, as we've said, but what were the emotions rewatching it for, what, like the 10th time for you? You've seen this one a lot, I'm sure.
I rewatched it actually over 3 times before recording this, even just because I wanted to take everything in.
Yeah.
And I think regardless of how you feel of the story, the plot of killing Bobby off, regardless of how you really feel about any of it, it is a phenomenal performance by our main actor in this one. And this is the Bobby show.
Right.
I just think he delivers a really incredible performance. I mean, the boys are in this episode, don't get me wrong, but everyone is a side character in this outside of Bobby, in my opinion. And it is the Bobby show. And for me, it was neat. It was really neat, much like I enjoyed Weekend at Bobby's for that reason. I think it's very clear what you can do with Bobby as your leading actor, which almost makes me think more about that whole Rufus and Bobby sideshow that coulda, shoulda been maybe at some point. So that's actually what I was thinking, was about the fact that, man, seeing Bobby with Rufus, as we will, was a lot of fun. I wish we saw more of it during the show. That was one of the first thoughts I actually had early in this episode.
Yeah, I had two main takeaways, Chris. First was that, man, it's cool to see Rufus again, because we do see a side of him that we didn't actually get to see while he was still, like, quote unquote alive, right? The other thing, and I agree with you, Weekend at Bobby's was a great showcase as to what Bobby meant to the show. And I think this episode, at the very least, is doing the same thing. It's a great representation of what that character means within the show itself, to the fans, to our main characters. So, and yeah, of course, Jim Beaver, phenomenal performance. This is a very plot heavy episode, Chris, in that we have two separate, we have sort of, I don't want to say two separate threads, Chris, because they're happening at the same time, but we're in Bobby's subconscious in this episode, but also we're seeing Bobby go through the hospital system through the eyes of Sam and Dean. So there's a lot to cover here in terms of what are we seeing in Bobby's subconscious, right? A lot of details as to what hunts he was on, what happened with his parents, what happened with his wife. We also have to deal with Sam and Dean going through the motions of, is Bobby actually going to die? Is he going to make it? It felt like a kind of a wild ride for me. But I want to just quickly mention, the first time I watched this, I was floored. And I think there's something to say about that. I think on a rewatch, I don't want to say most of these episodes, Chris, but a lot of these episodes start to feel recycled. You lose a little bit of that magic. This episode, though, I think the impact is still there. I think it still hits hard every time I watch it, at least. Is that true for you? Do you still feel the emotions every time?
Yeah, this one, the end hits hard. Down to his final words, you know, he owns this character so much in this episode. And I think watching his story and getting that last bit of background about him, I like the way they did it in this episode. And I compare it to when Sam's in his own mind. I wish I actually did more episodes in the show probably that took place in people's minds, because it seems like it's something that every time they do it well. So I would love to see, you know, what they would have done with other folks. I mean, it could be overused to that point. I wouldn't want them to overuse that, but I would love to see what, you know, what has gone on in other people's mind when they're at death's door. Now, mind you, And this reason, then, it's called Death's Door. It aired December 2nd, 2011. It's directed by Robert Singer. It's a 9.2 on IMDb. And I will say this. It's what I just talked about. Bobby's in a coma. That's the reason he's in a subconscious. Other subconscious episodes was Sam fighting off Lucifer and other related things. So, I mean, they're in there for a reason. But, yeah, we're in Bobby's subconscious to start. And I love the fact that it starts with Sam and Dean, because this is a trend we're going to see throughout this episode, that Sam and Dean are at the heart of who Bobby is. And as we're going to learn, Bobby's a guy who wanted kids, at a certain point makes a really critical decision because of his own life and the way he was treated, that maybe he wouldn't be a good dad. And in the end, we're going to explore this concept of fatherhood in a really powerful way throughout this episode. And that's, I think, what hit me hard, was the concept of Bobby as dad, because that's really what he was. And they do it, I think, masterfully in this one.
Yeah. So let me touch on that, Chris, because I had the same feeling as you, but I feel like they sort of whiffed it. I feel like Robbie Thompson, the writer on this episode, I feel like he missed the mark. We're on Reddit, Chris, as you know, we're all over the subreddit, r Supernatural. We've got a really fun series running right now, which is, what is the worst thing a supernatural character has said or done? We just covered Dean and we just covered John, Chris. As I'm saying this, this episode might come out weeks after that. If you missed that one, go find us on Reddit. Go check out those posts. It's really kind of a bloodbath, Chris. Have you been on there? Have you seen what people are writing?
Yes. Yeah. I've enjoyed it. I haven't chimed in on the John Winchester one, but I did chime in that I'm going to chime in, because I'm looking forward to thinking about what I want my answer for that to be.
It's quite a hoot. If you haven't checked it out, do so. Aside from that, though, Chris, I'm poking around other threads, leaving comments, seeing what other people think about the show in season 7 in particular. And I saw a post about this episode and how, you know, someone thought it was better on a rewatch. And someone left a comment that I really agreed with, and it resonated with me. I'd like to read parts of that if it's okay.
Yeah.
The user's name is The Cult of Personality, and here's what they wrote about this episode. And I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, Chris, because it's a long comment, but I encourage other people to check this post out and you know, leave a comment. Tell us what you think. But this person said, you know, this episode kind of missed the mark for me, and it still does. Bobby was never established as a de facto father figure for Sam and Dean at a young age. Their relationship grew into what it was, literally from the moment that we meet Bobby as an older hunter that vaguely knew their dad. That turned into something genuine, and it built on over 7 years of trust and experiences and camaraderie. It's more impressive to say that Bobby became a father figure later in their lives, after they'd learned to live with a strained one, rather than shoehorning that he was always a father figure, which is implied in a flashback in this episode. He's not wrong there, Chris. From what I remember.
It's a really great point. And it is a really great point, because it's true. If you think about the early episodes, Bobby, when they come to meet Bobby, he is kind of just this grumpy guy who knew the dad. That's easy to forget about. It is easy to kind of think, oh, he's always been there. And I actually really love that you bring this up, because perhaps something they could have done better in this episode is made it, I never expected to feel like a dad, but I felt, but these boys made me realize what I could have been. So to your point, probably could have actually been. And sometimes these were illuminated, right, by a comment or by what someone observes. I do still feel the dad vibe with Bobby, and the boys, I think, still were. And I'll stand by that. I still think the boys were the most important thing in his life. They brought him to being a whole piece again after losing his wife. So the boys losing their dad, him losing his wife, they needed each other, and they found each other in the way that life took them. Because we're early on in this episode, Bobby's going to jump right in from being with the boys to being with his now dead wife, obviously, which is how he's realizing what's happening. But No, it's a really great take. A really good, not even a take, it's a nice observation. I think that's the right way to put it, because it's true. If we go back and think about that, certainly they made a decision along the way of what Bobby was to these boys at this point.
Yeah, I just feel like, and great, thank you for that comment to that user. I just feel like they didn't need to retcon Bobby's story like that to have the impact, Chris. That's my problem with it. We're cheapening the character of Bobby by saying, oh, he was there all along and that's why he's a dad. You don't need to be in somebody's life from start to finish to be their dad. Bobby, like, you know, sort of adopting the boys at a very late age in his life and learning how to be a dad to grown men is totally valid. It's the same definition of fatherhood as, you know, a young man taking care of kids. And it was a flashback scene within Bobby's subconscious that I just don't think, if you cut that out, Chris, you know, the episode is much better for it. That's my personal opinion. I know a lot of people are going to downvote that comment, so to speak. That's Reddit talk, Chris. But, I just feel like it cheapened the moment a little bit. And it's allowing the writers to retcon a character to fit their narrative, which bugs me. And we're going to see more of that throughout season 7 and beyond. It kind of feels like they didn't watch season 1 through 5.
Like, and retcon, and I do think of, and it is interesting because in my statement, I do think Bobby, it made it feel like, because the comment I actually lean into for this episode is not the scene you're talking about. There's a line where he says, I adopted these boys and I was a great dad. He's later going to say this to his father in this dream state, right?
Yeah.
And that's the moment that stands out to me. That's the moment that hit for me. Mm-hmm. I wasn't even thinking the other scene, maybe because in my consciousness, I know it's a retcon, right? But the moment that hits me hard was the one that I'm talking about, because that's where he's saying, hey, I did this thing. These boys became my boys in the process of this. I adopted them. And obviously not actual, paperwork, whatever. That doesn't matter. This is that we're in the world of hunters, right? He took these boys in when they needed him most. And he was a great dad in that. And you don't need to. I make the Yondu comparison. Mind you, in Marvel, Yondu comes down, takes Star-Lord from Earth, whatever. And he's around much of his life. But still, the fact that Yondu didn't need to be the dad to be the best dad, right?
Right.
And then we can debate that all day long on who was the better dad, right? But because in 7 years, you can't equal 7-8 years, you can't equally judge that compared to, 25 plus years. But to all that point, I mean, in this episode, you see what makes Bobby, and it's not necessarily there's a few core things, and I'd like to focus on Bobby for a little bit here. We could talk about the hospital, but first and foremost, we see a few scenes. He's in his subconscious. He actually gets a paper down and writes the number 454-895 and puts in his jacket pocket, which I find interesting. I think that's just a clue to the audience. This is what I saw. I have to get this info to the boys. Mm-hmm. He knows he can't take this paper out and hand it to them. Right. He's not stupid. He understands that. Next thing we know, he's in his bedroom reliving this moment with his dead wife, Karen. And then next thing after that, he's going to be outside a church on a ghost hunt with Rufus. So we're seeing 3 key things here. Hunting with the boys, or time with the boys.
Mm-hmm.
Time with his wife and time with Rufus.
Right.
There's one other key moment that he's going to see, which is the way his father treats him. His father is abusive. His father, I hate to say it, but bad parenting is at the heart of this show. It's it's just the thing that we see constantly, right?
Yeah.
But those are the 4 biggest things we see, because other than that, we're just bouncing around in these different worlds. The cool thing to me in this episode is Bobby and Rufus, because Bobby explains to what do we call him, inside my head, Rufus. I mean, he says to Rufus, I'm dead. Like, you're not even real. And he's like, and I'm one of your best memories. Like, there's just so many of these great lines in it. It's like, but Rufus, this Rufus, which is pre-issues, right? Which is the beautiful part. Says, all right, let's solve this. You're trying to get away from death, moving on. Let's see what we got to do. And I just thought it was so well done to have Rufus and Bobby together. And on something as simple as a ghost hunt, you know, to start this, right? But yeah, it turns into a Rufus and Bobby team up. And how long have we wanted one of those? I mean, really, I feel like we've clamored for Rufus and Bobby team up. What were they like? And again, without the sarcastic Rufus, who's like, I don't want to deal with you, you know? So I think it was really great to see. So that was, I think those are the four core kind of memories we're seeing. Did I miss any?
No, I think that's it. You know, there's a Reaper following him. I think that's the other key piece that you hit on there. And this Reaper is pretty straight up with him, Chris. I was surprised actually rewatching this, how honest and open he was. He was like, Bobby, you know, like, you can run if you want, but really I need to take you. Like, you need to face what is ahead of you. And he's being really, I don't want to say kind about it, but he's being very stoic. Like, Reapers, I think, Chris, they're one of my favorite. Do we call them monsters? I think we can call a Reaper a monster, right?
I think for the sake of this show, we can, even if their purpose is, well, we've talked about monsters before. Sometimes monsters have truly a good purpose, but I think they still fall into the monster category.
Yeah.
They're not all bad, right? So,
right. No, yeah. So, I mean, as a monster, I think they're one of my favorite because their intention is so pure for the most part. Like, they're pretty one dimensional. They have a job, which is to take you from the living to the dead. And Bobby's Reaper in particular is like, hey, man, it's just time. Like, just let go. Right. But Bobby doesn't want to because he feels like he has a job to do. And that job, like we have said this whole time, is to look out for his boys, his adopted boys, because, and you mentioned this already, Chris, Bobby has a key piece of information when it comes to the Leviathans. We just watched the previous episode. He's in an office somewhere in that building. He figures something out right before he gets shot in the head. This episode is about him communicating that piece of information to them. That's going to take us to the end of the episode and actually into the rest of the season. So his death, in a way, is really extending the plot of the season. It's pushing the season forward, which I thought actually they did a pretty good job of. It's not just Bobby's death here. It really is a turning point in the overall story.
His death is a catalyst.
Was really well handled, pretty smooth.
Yeah, his death is a catalyst for the rest of an arc. And this speaks so well to Bobby in the fact that he's not worried. He's not trying to, at least I think at the start of this, he's not trying to avoid dying, right? That's not what this is about.
Right.
He just wants to get conscious so he can deliver this info. It's not really about, I don't want to go yet. I think in some part of his brain, he accepts, I might have to, right?
Yes.
He's not necessarily saying, I'm not going to go. I just really need to get this information to the boys. So I have to get ahead of you so I can get, you know, one last breath or two in to deliver the information. And that goes to speak to who Bobby is. And I think this is the reason we love Bobby, is Bobby is putting the world before himself. We talk about self-hate, self-loathing, whatever, throughout the show. Dean and Bobby are actually very alike in this way. I think they do it a lot to themselves. And we're going to see some of a reason for that in this episode as well. But he is, like Dean and Sam, willing to sacrifice himself in any moment. At the same time, he's ready. You know, he's ready to get this info out to them. So that's what he's fighting for. But again, they play that well because he's got the number in his pocket, right? We know he's got information. And then at the end, he's able to deliver that information, which I think is just very well executed. Plus, because we have that full information, we know they may not have all the info at the end because we know, you know, that maybe we didn't get everything down on the hand, right? Because it's 454-895. And we know on Sam's palm, he's going to write 45489. So we know missing information. So we, as the audience, are also informed. Oh man, he almost pulled it off. And that's actually what I like. I love that he didn't get to finish writing it.
I missed that, Chris. Actually, you telling me this right now is me realizing that, oh shit, we had the full numbers, but he didn't actually write them all down. I totally missed that. That's a great detail.
It's a little thing, but I want to speak to some of these core things. So I think the Rufus and Bobby hunting together and Rufus helping is fantastic, right? Yes. I think that's great.
Yep.
There's two key life points for Bobby, though. There's abusive father, and there's a really powerful scene. And I have to imagine this hits hard for, and I feel for anyone who's had this experience, but I know there's people in the world who had a parent who maybe was really hard, and hopefully not like his dad, who's, God forbid, hitting his mother. Horrid thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
It was hard to watch. But you see young Bobby being told he's useless. How many people in their lives have felt useless? And it might not be a dad. It might not be a mom. It might be a boss. It might be someone else, right? We've lived these moments in our life. This man takes it to a step to abusive level. And we see Bobby, not necessarily cowering in this moment.
Yeah.
Because what Bobby actually does is quite extreme and obviously impacts the rest of his life. But the way his father treats him is horrid. And it makes him think, I would not be a good dad.
Yeah.
It makes him think, because he knows, as we're going to also directly connect, he tells Karen, I don't want to have kids. I can't have kids. And that breaks her. And that's a turning point for them in their relationship.
Yes.
So we see some of the hardest moments in his life, both with his wife and with his father. And the pivotal moment that I forgot that he actually shot him. I'm not going to lie. I forgot that he actually shot his dad. I knew he did something, but I forgot that, like, it was a shotgun kind of, you're done in that moment. When you see that, and then Bobby gets to comfort his younger self, I mean, say, you did what was right. And we could debate that, right? Like, is that the right thing to do? I think many people would have felt the answer is yes. I'm not here to tell people what to think. But Bobby says, it's okay. He was essentially says he was a monster. You want to talk about the monster in this episode? It was his father.
Yeah.
Because his dad was a horrible, horrible human being. And we don't know what his life was, right? But Bobby wanted to end almost the curse or that line of abuse because he was afraid that's what he was going to turn into. I don't want to think that his dad was the same way to his dad was his father's father was the same way to him. And it was just a continuing thread, but Bobby just didn't want to continue this line. And that's what he felt he would become. Though we know Bobby, he never would have been that.
No, you know, he likes to drink like his dad. He seemingly is a mechanic like his dad. I think it's implied that his dad, Ed, is a mechanic. He's wearing a mechanic suit. So you can see that they are very alike, Chris. So his fear that would become a reality, I don't think is unwarranted. I think they're pretty similar, aside from the fact that Bobby had this very traumatic moment in his life where he had to kill his dad. And you know what the worst part of that scene is, Chris, for me, is that when Bobby kills his dad, finally, his mom looks at him and he says, "What have you done?" And older Bobby looks at younger Bobby and he says, "This is where you learn that they never say thank you." And it broke me, man, because not only did he feel the need to protect his mom, right, to make that decision to kill a man, right, and potentially put yourself behind bars to save someone else, and for them to look at you and say, "Why did you do that? You know, you made a mistake." It's just heartbreaking, man. But yeah, I mean, he grabs a shovel. He tells him to grab a shovel, bury him outside. I mean, this is like what? Like a 10-year-old kid doing all of this? I mean, this scene, Chris, was probably, it's my favorite moment of season 7. I doubt this will be beat, honestly.
Well, you wonder why he drinks. Come on. He had to shoot his dad to save his mom, essentially.
And his wife.
Who knows?
And his wife later on.
Yeah. I mean, and he's had to kill the most important people. Two very important people in his life. Now, whether his dad might not have been a good person, but still it's an important figure in your life, right? So you can't dismiss that. But you think about that. And ultimately, Rufus tells him, you have to face this moment. And that's the big, which I love the pause. Rufus is like, you can't avoid this forever. Now, there is a scene, by the way, I just want to point out for people as you've rewatched this, that he does kind of run into, you know, his Reaper who does remind him and says, "Hey, you got to go. Like, you could stay here," but he knows what's going to happen if he stays there.
Right.
And one of the most powerful moments, which again, for me, goes back to the line about, I adopted these boys. That's the line that I live off of. I will not disagree with the facts of the point made by that Reddit user, but the line about the adoption, and that's probably maybe to the point where you could say you could cut that scene and would still be equally impactful, right?
Yes.
Because you don't have to play like he's been their dad for dad father figure for 20 plus years. You don't have to play that up.
Don't have to do it.
But that scene, when he gets to say that, and then you see when he's with his Reaper, and the last moment that he's held on to is the boys debating stupid things, literally just pointless garble in the long string of things, right? They're not on a monster hunt. They're not saving the world. They're just sitting down having a beer and watching TV.
Yeah,
that's all it is. That's his last moment that he's trying to save. And the Reaper sits there and tells him, what are you going to do? And you watch Sam and Dean fade away. And in this moment, you know Bobby's got a choice, right? And I think that's a powerful moment. But the fact that the boys are at the heart and center of it, that hit me harder than anything, because he lost so much. But in the end, he found the boys, and that's what brought him whole, right?
Yeah.
And I think it brought the boys whole, which then categorizes why in the next episode, we're going to go watch the boys be depressed for weeks. It all interconnects really beautifully. So in a season that has been up and down, right, it's had some really good stuff, this episode has at this moment that just shines for me. And the line here is, glad I saved the best for last, as he tells the Reaper. And then ultimately, one of the last things he says to this guy is, I saved the best for last, which is literally just them drinking beer, having snacks. I mean, what a memory to save. And it will make sense when we get to the end of the show, Dan, that one of the people, the person waiting there, even if you wanted the big grand finale that would have happened if found COVID, one of the people who's sitting there waiting at the end of this show, when Dean gets to heaven, is Bobby offering him a beer. Who else would it be? It makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Can I ask you something, Chris? And I don't know if you know this off the top of your head. Is Bobby Singer in every season from here on out until the finale? Is he in season 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, like onwards? Is he in every season? Because we do see AU Bobby, right? We're going to see Bobby as a ghost, obviously.
I forget if there's flashbacks. That's what I have to check. I don't know off the top of my head. It's a great question. Maybe something we could come back to in even next episode and kind of as we think about that, because he is so pivotal. And yes, alternate universe Bobby is fun. Don't get me wrong, but
yeah,
never the same, right?
No,
never the same.
No.
So that is what that is.
Yeah.
I do want to point out Bobby gets free. We pointed this out. He gets the right. We kind of mentioned this already. Five of the six numbers get written down, and then his last line is essentially idiots, and then fades away. Right. Yeah. And that's in that moment where we now know, well, what decision did he make? So we're left as the first time watchers saying, what is he going to do? Is he going to, now we know as rewatchers, he stuck around. He's a ghost. He's attached to one of his items.
Yeah.
And it's a case of luck, in my opinion, too, for Bobby, because he could be just stuck somewhere. Thankfully, Dean picks up this flask, right? Because it just happens to work out that way. Good for Bobby, which will lead to some really great moments. But life on Earth, Bobby, he's not here anymore with us. The other thing. Go ahead.
Yeah. You know what, Chris? I'm going to save it for next week. If you want to hear my rant on whether or not Bobby should have actually died or not, tune in next week. Because I struggle with it, Chris. I think it's cool that he's a ghost moving forward. But also, like, man, the emotional impact that this episode had on me the first time I watched it was massive. Knowing now, because we're on a rewatch, that he never actually dies, it kind of takes the impact away from it for me a little bit.
Yeah.
Which sucks. So I'll expand on that next week, because like you said, there's a really fun sequence of events that are, you know, sort of breadcrumbs that, oh wait, Bobby might still be alive, right? I think that's really fun to go through the next few episodes. I'm gonna save that rant though for a future episode. We're running long here as it is, Chris. I'll save that little rant.
And I'll keep this short, but I did want to make sure we brought up the Sam and Dean scenario. Sam being a realist of like, he might not make it.
Yeah.
Dean not accepting it.
No.
At all. Dean is not ready.
Nope.
Dean's lost his dad. He doesn't want to lose again. And I think we're in agreement. Essentially, second dad.
Yes.
It's just a matter of he lost one, he gained another, and now he's going to lose that person again. And he is not taking this well.
No.
And looking at Dean in this way, the only other person he's acted this way for is Sam. And I think we can get into discussion this as we wrap up the show. Mm. But I'm a little surprised that, to a point you made earlier, why didn't he feel so upset with Castiel being gone? And we never saw anything more. Now, I think Bobby a little more important at this point than Castiel
The
lifeline of things. Don't get me wrong. But
yes,
to your point, I think it does bring some credence to, well, he lost Castiel and we didn't get to see much of his reaction to it. You can argue it happens off screen. You can. That's fair.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to point out that, man, Sam and Dean look broken. Like, I don't know how else to describe it. Broken in a way that we haven't seen in a long time. Like, I don't remember the last time we saw them that broken looking. Not since, I guess, season 5 when he watched his brother jump in a hole.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. And I love the contrast of Sam being able to handle it and Dean being an absolute mess in denial. I love that whole dynamic, Chris, because Sam is much more grounded in his emotions, which is funny because, like, for a guy that's seeing Lucifer in his head, he's much more stable than Dean in this moment, you know?
Not for long.
Not for long. Yeah, very true. But great episode. What was this one? A 9.2, Chris?
I 9.2.
Think that stands. Yeah, I think that's
very fair. Yeah, and I think you fair. Can get, again, we're trying to be critical respectfully, right? So I love that you brought up that Reddit post. I think, yeah, you could cut a scene. Because it was that scene didn't, it's so funny how it didn't, I didn't really think about that one because I was so focused on the line of that he said to his father, because that was the powerful moment.
Right.
And that, you're right, that's a contender for best moment of season 7.
Absolutely.
Standing up to his father.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's my moment, but it's a contender. So.
I think it has to be. It has to be. And you know, the other scene, Chris, would be the one where he's playing catch with Sam, or I think it's Dean, actually, like a young Dean. It's never implied that they were close enough to have that kind of relationship. You know, it just, like, I think it takes away from the possibility that an older man can be a father figure to another older man. Why are we watering that down with this, you know, this retcon? I didn't love those details, but nonetheless, the message stands and the episode still is a very good one.
Can we just put this on the table though? More retcons are coming.
I know.
And we're going to get into some of these as they happen.
Yeah.
So unfortunately that's a reality.
Yeah.
Some references. Episode was originally titled Not Fade Away after a song by Buddy Holly. And this is the second appearance of Bobby's mother. She also appeared in the Hookman episode, but she was not Bobby's mother in that episode.
No,
she was the librarian.
Right.
So, and you were talking, by the way, I want to just plug, go say hi to us on Reddit for sure. Like you mentioned, because you were talking about this in a post, a reply to someone I saw just about some of the way that we're doing the research and looking stuff up and trying to uncover stuff.
Yeah.
It's not just pulling it off of wikis. And like you said, sometimes it's just watching and rewatching again after watching. Right. So we're having a lot of fun with this. We thank you for joining us on this journey. If you're newer and have joined us because of Reddit, we're happy to have you. And we thank you for coming along this journey with us. We're having a lot of fun. We have some great episodes coming up. Our next one, I actually really like our next
one. Me too.
It's
quite
a bit. I actually think it's rated a little bit for me, it's a lower rating on IMDb than I would give it. It's Adventures in Babysitting. I think it's a really fun episode. And can I just say, I know we're coming up on 35 minutes of podcast time here, but there's a new monster. For once in a while, in a long time, I get to talk about a new monster. So look forward to that. I love digging into this stuff, into that monster mythology. So we're going to have some fun. But with that, Dan, I can only say one more thing, and that is that is it for this week. But we will be back because, after all,
we've got work to do.